Okay, so first I have to apologize. Not sure why Graham wanted me to speak. I'm probably the most likely person in our family to say something inappropriate and irreverent. Then again, knowing her sense of humor, that might be exactly what she was after. She might be a little bit disappointed with this, but I hope she likes it. I know my mother will be relieved. My grandmother was an amazing woman. Not because she was perfect, but because of her many virtues. But because her many virtues greatly outweighed her flaws. Merle could be an exacting woman. I still, to this day, hate doing windows because of her. Not because she made me do them all the time, but because of the level of excellence she required. If they were not clean, spotless, and streak-free, well, you still had some work to do. And, you know, since you're there, the screens, window frames, sills, and could use some work too. I recently purchased a home in Nebraska that had been unoccupied for a number of years, and it took me a good 2 weeks to get the windows to the point where I didn't have Grandma's voice in the back of my head going, "They're not done." So, but my windows sparkle. All because of her. Graham was also a very intelligent woman. Throughout high school, my papers were never ready until Graham proofread them. She had a way of classing up words that I really never mastered. In fact, I probably could have used her help with this one. She was also not afraid to embrace technology. She'd just dive right in there and figure it out. I know I always got texts from her that I'd have to call her and say, "What did you say?" Because she had so many acronyms in them that I didn't know what they were. I think she used LOL way before I did. My grandmother was a wonderful cook. I love my memories of putting together Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners, canning from the garden, making strawberry and raspberry jam. I take great pride in the fact that she told me with a little bit of resentment that I make flakier pie crust than she does. I learned to cook with her for upwards of 20 people or more, and I still struggle to cook just for myself. I end up eating the same thing for days. Graham loved her family and was very supportive. Whether it was taking care of her mother and my grandfather in their later years, or going to as many functions as possible for her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. We all knew we were loved, whether we wanted to or not. I knew if I needed help, she'd be there. The best example I have of that is I was in an accident when I was living in New Mexico, and my car was totaled. And I decided to take my time finding a car. I was going to get the best deal I could. It was a couple weeks later I got a call from her saying that her and Grandpa were going to go to 20th Century to their President's Day sale and find me a car. So she wanted to know what I wanted. So I, you know, laughed a little and told her what I'd been looking for. And hung the phone up, shaking my head, going, "Whatever." A couple hours later, she called me back. They found the car. They were working on getting the loan taken care of, and Grandpa's going to start driving it down to New Mexico that day with her following in their car. So they got to New Mexico the next day with a car for me. I took them to dinner to say thanks. I did pay for the car. Took them to dinner to say thanks, and they were on the road the next day to go home because Grandma had to go to work on Monday. I had a friend Richard that was with me there. And he asked if they'd be his grandparents. I'm sure if he really meant it, they'd have said, okay. But grandparents, in particular, Graham, were extremely welcoming. It didn't matter if you were brand new or an old acquaintance, you were welcome. She also worked very hard to make sure everyone felt included. I remember that she always had birthday presents, or she always had presents for the little kids, whether it was their birthday or not. Everybody got a present. I don't know how many times over the years I brought someone home and they were like, oh, I don't want to intrude. And as far as Graham was concerned, the more the merrier. One of Graham's best virtues, and I know everybody who has experienced this will agree with me, was the wake up back scratch. There was no better way in the world to wake up than for her to come in, sit softly beside you, and lightly scratch your back until you woke up. Nobody to this day has been able to replicate her technique. Sorry, Mom, you're close. And I won't tell you to knock it off by any means, but I will definitely miss that about Graham. I can't really talk about Graham without mentioning her absolute love for my grandfather. I really do not have a memory of her without him. They were partners and took care of and protected each other. And it's a great comfort to me to think of them being reunited and finally at peace together.
So every time my grandma would come visit, I don't know if she planned it or what, but it always seemed to happen on a fasting testimony Sunday. And without fail, she would stand up every single time. And as she's walking up, we'd all grab something like, oh man, what is she going to say about me? And so I was kind of hoping this might be a little bit of payback, because I know she's watching and I hope she's going, oh man, what are they going to say about me? So I wanted to start off by telling you a story that changed my life. When me and my cousin Mike were young, we both were old enough to have BB guns. And so we got our BB guns, and we obviously got bored and figured that Grandpa's old farm truck's rear view mirrors were a great target. And so we proceeded, I think we sat in the bed of the truck for probably half an hour shooting out till we got every piece of glass out of those mirrors. And when Grandpa found out, our punishment was that we had to come work for Grandpa. And so the reason that changed my life is I got to spend that whole summer with Grandma and Grandpa. And that was one of the best summers of my entire life, to be able to strengthen my bond with them, to learn from Grandma and Grandpa. But I think that's definitely where I developed my relationship with my grandma. And it's definitely never been the same since then. When I was preparing what to say, I thought, you know, there's probably lots of people that want to say something. And it's funny because a lot of this is going to be repeat, but I wanted to give, I asked certain people, I said, what comes to your mind? What's your best memory? And I wanted to read some of those that I heard from people. First one, she is the best back tickler. That's not the only time that's mentioned. One of them said that she always tells you the truth, no matter if you want to hear it or not. She's going to say it the way it should be said. Mike said, never, ever, ever tell her that you're bored. Just like my mom said, she will find chores for you to do. It won't be fun. This one I really loved. Someone said, I love how independent she was and how she knew exactly what she wanted. She protected her kids and stood up for them. She would not stand by and let anyone disrespect them. I think that's really cool. She was a fierce protector of her family and her yellow carpet. I love the relationship she has with Grandpa. She loves him so much, and it's sweet to see her so strong, so independent, and strong-minded just go soft around Grandpa and to let herself love him and be vulnerable. Someone else said, I just love how sarcastic she was and how much she would tease people. Even when it was towards you, she was just so funny and not afraid to slightly cross the line just a little bit. I wanted to elaborate on something my mom said, that she, when she says something, she means it. So when I turned 16, me and my friends thought we'd take a road trip and come see my grandma. And we had it in our heads that it's a grandma. What can she really do? And so she gave us a curfew, and it was 10 o'clock. And if we weren't home by 10, she said, just be home by 10. And so we left, and the first thing we said is, what is she going to do, ground us? You know? So we stayed out past 10, and come to find out, after 10 o'clock, she got on the phone, called the police, and said, look for these people in this car, and make sure they get home. And they never found us. We didn't know that till we got home, that she had called the police and they were all out looking for us. And we're like, oh man. I was like, well, at least we escaped that. And I said, what else is the point? And she said, go to bed and we'll talk in the morning. So we're like, what is she gonna do? There's nothing she can do that's gonna affect us. And so in the morning she sat us down, and we had been there about a week at that point. We're going home the next day, I think, and she sat us down and she just started to tell us how she's been raving about us at work to all of her coworkers and how respectful we were and how we were just these great young men. And then she just said, I'm just extremely disappointed. And all of us were just in tears, just bawling. We said, that's what she can do to get us. She always had a way. You were not going to outsmart her. She always had her ways to get to you. Now, I thought it was really cool. It was unfortunate that my grandpa's funeral was not able to be held here, but it was really, really cool that she was able to be in this church, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if it was that same summer. I can't pinpoint when it was, but it was a time that we had visited her here in this church, and I didn't want to go to class, and she said, that's fine, come with me to Relief Society. So I went and sat next to my grandma in the Relief Society room, and they were teaching us about the restoration of the gospel, and I never understood it very well until that time. And that's the first memory I ever have of feeling the Spirit so strong that I knew without a doubt that I had a testimony of the gospel. And it was sitting next to my grandma in this church, and that's something I will never forget. And her testimony with her, I'm sure I was asking her questions, and I know she was responding and helping me to see that. Her testimony radiated so strong that that's where I first started the foundation of my testimony, was with her sitting in this church. I thought a lot about death, and it's a sad thing, but it's been so interesting, especially these past couple days have verified that it can be such a happy time, right? It's sad for us, but it's so happy for them on the other side. So I want us all to just think for a second about what she's experiencing right now. Who is she with? What joy, the embracing with people that she hasn't seen, her husband, her parents, and so many others that she is with right now. You can't help but be happy for her. So happy. What a blessing that is. And I wanted to close by saying that I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say that when I pass on, I hope she is one of the first, if not the first person, that embraces me when I go through. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's a privilege for me to be able to say a few remarks about such a wonderful lady. It's always fun to hear the life sketch and to hear especially a granddaughter and a grandson talk about their grandma and their grandpa. I think about our Heavenly Father, and each one of us are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And I think about how we come down with the plan of salvation. We all chose our Heavenly Father's plan to be able to come down and to gain a body. But I think about it's kind of similar to a mission, or when you send somebody off for a short, for a long period of time, that when that time ends and you're able to open your arms and get them back, what a joyous reunion that is. And I can see that in a twofold deal in this, is that our Heavenly Father, I think, is so happy when we are able to return. And I can see him thinking, okay, we come down and we spend those years down here away from him, even though we have his Spirit to guide and direct us. I think it's such a joy for him to have us come home and come back and to be with him again. And of course, the other reunion is to be able to be back with your husband or that sweetheart that you spent your life with. And the great example that they have been to each one of us, as I think through, and obviously we all know that as we get married, that we have some of those ups and downs. I'm sure they had some of those ups and downs. But how much she loved him, and he loved her. And I think that's such a blessing and an example to each one of us to take that and to know as we go forward that that's important in our lives. I wanted to read a little bit of what the prophets talked about on the plan of salvation. It says, God's whole purpose, his work and his glory, is to enable each of us to enjoy all his blessings. He has provided the perfect plan to accomplish his purpose. We understood and accepted this plan before we came to earth. In the scriptures, God's plan is called the merciful plan, the plan of happiness, the plan of redemption, and the plan of salvation. And I think that great plan at this particular time is that we understand the plan that our Heavenly Father has for us as we go forward. He wants us to return, and he wants us to again gain the presence of him and to be able to also gain the presence of our family. And I know, as reading down through and listening, they were Sister Jacqueline and was able to go through the temple and to be sealed, and that you were sealed as a family, which is a great blessing as we go forward to know that we are a family forever. And as we continue to go forward, that we know that it doesn't end at this particular point, that we know it's eternal. And it's one of those things that we build in our testimonies with faith and with the Spirit that tells us that. And I'm so grateful for that Spirit that does, as we study and we pray, that it bears witness to us that is the truth. I wanted to read a scripture in Alma that kind of talked a little bit about the passing. It says, now concerning the state of the soul between death and the resurrection, behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received in a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow. And so I read into that too, as I know, as we get closer sometimes to the end of the life, and Sister Jacqueline, I know, went probably through some of those trials at the end here with. And it kind of reminds me of my mother, too, a little bit. That age, they just don't complain. They go through it, and they make it through this. But you know that there's a lot of things that in their body and different things are not feeling good. And it's joyful to me to know that when this passing goes, that spirit is then placed, and all those troubles and those pains and sorrows kind of go away. And I, it's comforting to me to know that. And I would express to each and every one of you that to stay close to your Heavenly Father, to get down on your knees and to pray. He loves each and every one of you. And this is a good time to ask those questions and to be able to know and get closer to him and understand that. I bear you my testimony that I know the plan of salvation is true. And that we all will again gain the presence of our Heavenly Father and our families, that we will be able to reach our arms out and to love one another there. Another thought that I had is I thought, you know, a Sister Jacqueline gets onto the other side. She's probably, and she's probably close here now as the spirit world is close to us. As they're probably rejoicing together, the next thing I can see is they're probably going to grab each other and the way they go to work on doing missionary work on that side after listening to this missionary song at the end. I can just see her smile and her loving arms and that spirit that she has. She will make a big effect across on the other side again. Well, I want to leave you with my testimony and my remarks at this time and the truthfulness of this gospel. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We will go ahead and close with Near My God to Thee on page 100, and the benediction will be given by Brother Michael Jackman. We will have the interment out at the Groveland Cemetery, and then the dedication of the grave will be by Brother Larry Richmond.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so very blessed to be able to be here as family and friends, to be able to
rejoice in the memory of my sweet grandmother. We're so blessed to be able to have her in our life and to be able to have her wisdom and her teachings to be able to guide us through our lives. We're blessed to have her as an example to how to live and to love one another. We ask you to bless us that we can be able to always remember her and to be able to hold her testimony close to our hearts, to be able to build upon our own testimonies. We ask you to bless us as we travel today, that we can travel in safety and be able to continue throughout our day and rejoice of her life and be able to celebrate her life. We love thee so very much, and we say these things humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.